Zach, are you crazy?
Zach is crazy.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Welcome everybody to the Magnetico podcast. I am your. Look at this.
Brother.
Yeah, so 2 weeks off and with microphones are falling.
Technical difficulties.
Jesus, internet's not working. This is not brought to you by T-Mobile Home Internet. If you've got T-Mobile Home Internet, you damn near a step away from dial-up. Because this is the crappiest internet I've ever dealt with in my life.
Hey, it's in the budget. And the Pirates just scored. And we can't even look at it because the internet is off. Man. Oh, my.
There goes. It's up. DD2-2.
Yes. That's our internet. That's our internet. Let's not be throwing that around.
I was in here the other night trying to like log in everybody else.
Anyway.
Shout out to Sprint. Oh no, T-Mobile. They used to be Sprint.
Anywho.
We're back. 2 week hiatus. Listen, I don't know about you, but the way the baseball season started.
Oh, it was miserable.
I didn't even feel like talking because I've been preaching, I'm a glass half full guy and all that, and I'm reading all the comments on social media, and it's driving me crazy. And then I'm thinking about, man, I don't want to even talk about the Mets.
Like it got to a point where we were winless. We were one of two winless teams in the MLB.
So we started out 0-5.
Yeah.
And now we're 8-8.
Hey, 8-8, we'll take that. We're
2.5 games.
We won 8 of our last 11. That's great, honestly.
2.5 games behind the Braves. But the Braves took a hit, though.
Yeah, the Braves are not looking too hot to start the season.
I mean,
like, to their standards. Obviously, they're in first place. But, I mean, that's not the Braves team right now. Ronald Acuna is not playing like an MVP right now.
I think he's hurt.
I think so?
I think he's battling a little.
He was battling injury last year, I'm pretty sure.
Well, remember I told you early on a couple episodes ago in the spring, they shut him down in spring for a little bit. I think he's dealing with something. But
I mean, it makes sense, though. He's coming off an MVP season. They're the top three to win the World Series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense why they would shut him down for spring to be ready for the regular season.
What's been amazing to me is the Mets pitching staff.
It's been great. We have the best team ERA in the league.
I think it's second. I think we moved into somebody took over the spot.
But it's not even our bullpen. Like I felt like our bullpen would carry the pitching staff. That's really not been the case for this team so far. I mean the starting pitching, I think he went right there. Yeah, so he went, struck him out. But sorry, we're watching the Mets Pirates game. We're down 1-0 right now in the bottom of the fifth, but what was I saying? I thought the bullpen would carry this team, but the starting pitching has been really solid this year.
And that's what's surprising. With Senga out, and it looks like Senga's going to be out for a while, for the starting pitching, we don't have any big names, but, you know, they're doing a good job. Now, the thing is, are they going to be able to, you know, make it last through a whole season?
I want to shout out two pitchers real quick on the Mets pitching
staff.
Sean Manaea, great through three starts, like below a 2 ERA, which is awesome. And Jose Buto, I don't know how to say his last name. He's been pitching phenomenal.
Didn't they just bring him up though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but like he's been bouncing like with the majors and minors the past like 2 years, but that last start they had versus the Royals, that was a great start.
And we talked about this on past episodes. The one thing about the Mets is they have depth. They have depth in the minors at all positions. And, you know, right now we're playing without J.D. Martinez. Doesn't look like he's going to be available to the end of – probably the beginning of May.
I think he'll be up next series.
I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, we're doing good. We're playing scrappy. Now
– yeah, for sure.
I want to talk about a couple things that I think have helped the team. You know, I'm always, what do you call it, glazing? I'm always glazing.
Hey, but before you do that, I actually want to shout out. I want to make a point real quick. The young guys are stepping up for this team. Like I said, Jose Buto, whatever.
Buto, I think it is.
Brett Beatty, he's been playing phenomenal. He's batting over 300. He looks so comfortable at the plate compared to last season.
And you know why I think he looks comfortable at the plate is his defense.
Yeah.
And, okay, so let's get into this.
Oh,
the fans have been on another level when it comes to bashing the team. And, you know, we started 0-5 or whatever. But to the point with Lindor, what was Lindor batting?
Oh, he was batting – he was in the .03s. Like, it was – he was, like, 1 for 27. It was bad.
You know, they have that saying in baseball, the Mendoza line. You ever heard that saying?
I've never heard of the saying.
You've never heard the saying Mendoza line? I think – you have to look it up. I think the Mendoza line has to do with an ex-player that wasn't a great hitter.
Speaking of Brett Beatty's
up. And you have to hit above the Mendoza line. Because he was, like, terrible.
Yeah.
And it's just fitting that the Mets manager is Mendoza. I don't know that's the guy.
I mean, it might be.
But let me get to the point. So, Lindor starts off the season terrible. Everybody move him down in the batting order. He's a bum.
And they're not even just talking about Lindor. I mean, Nimmo didn't start the season too hot.
No. These people were talking about Lindor. To the point on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, they went after his wife.
Oh, that's
terrible.
That's like, insane.
You fans that you think Lindor, who brought Beatty, brought Vientos to Port St. Lucie.
What a play.
In the offseason, in the winter, trained with them, helping them with their defense. That's captain stuff. You think he wants to start the year off bad? But my point of this is, Steve Cohen comes out and says, hey, when we come home on Friday night, let's give Lindor a standing ovation. Yeah. And the fans on social media were ripping Cohen. And what happened? They came home, and then the majority of good people won, and they gave him a standing ovation.
Which was great to see.
And he's kind of turned it around since being home. A little bit before coming home, but he's turning around, and it's not like he had to be the most unlucky player in baseball.
Oh, no, for sure. It wasn't even like he was striking out. Like, he was putting the ball in play, hard-hit balls every time.
So, you know, he's doing his job. He's playing good defense. You know, do you move him in the lineup? Maybe, but, you know, there's been some questionable things with Mendoza as far as the lineup goes early on in the season. But
yeah, I don't know how I feel about Mendoza.
It's early. Yeah. We can't judge the guy yet.
Which is why I don't know how I feel about it.
I tell you what I do like, the double steal last night.
Yeah.
Double steal, then Bader gets the big hit down the line, and we score two runs.
Harrison Bader's been great lately. And I mean, him too, he didn't start off too hot this season either. No. But
I'm still not a big Bader fan. I will say this about Bader. He's a – what's the matter? Am I saying his name wrong?
No. Nothing. Oh, Alvarez.
He is a scrappy player, and that's kind of what this team needs. Some scrappy ball players. So I'm for it, but we come home, we give him the standing ovation to Lindor. He has a good series. Alvarez has started out good, but then Dwight Gooden gets his number retired. And I think that was a big lift.
Oh, for sure.
A big lift for, you know, there was a lot of people in the stadium. And I saw this that I wanted to share with you because you didn't get to see Dwight in his prime.
I did not.
August 11th, 1984 to May 5th, 1986. Listen to this. He had a 37-5 record. His ERA was 1.38.
Oh, wait, this is a span of how many years?
August 11th of 1984 to May 5th of 1986.
So 2 years.
2 year span. 37-5, 1.38 ERA, 25 complete games. 25 complete games.
Holy crap.
412 strikeouts, and he pitched 404.2 innings.
That's insane.
You just don't see that anymore.
You don't.
And they were talking about the other night, who's the guy that pitched for LSU?
Paul Skenes.
So they're talking about when he's going to come up. But they've got him on such a pitch count that he's not stretched out enough. He's like throwing 50 pitches in a game in the minors. This guy pitched at LSU every chance LSU had to throw.
Oh, yeah.
He gets to the pros and you baby him because of the money involved. And that, you know, I just think we protect the guys a little too much.
And, no, I feel like the Pirates, which is the team he got drafted by, I feel like with the pitch clock, that like with more injuries coming in, I feel like they just don't want to, like, overuse him.
Do you think the pitch clock
I do.
Is playing into the injuries?
I do. Because I mean, I like it as a fan because of how quickly the games are going, but there's been like a lot of star pitchers, I should say, including Kodai Senga, who have fallen victim to an injury. I mean, yeah. Spencer Strider, I'm missing some other names, obviously.
I don't know either way. I can see the argument for it. But I'm gonna go by, I think I've said this before, I would like to see them do away with the pitch clock in the eighth inning on. Just because the drama in the mind and chess game that goes on, runners on second and third, one out, bottom of the ninth, pitchers, you know, 2-0 count. He needs to regroup and gather himself. Then it gets a chance for the fans to get even louder.
Yeah.
And get that atmosphere in the stadium that you're looking for. So I like the pitch count for the faster game, but I feel like if you're not going to do the eighth inning, then maybe just the ninth, you know, do away with it. Now, if you're being extreme, then maybe you get a warning or something, but it's such a chess game between pitcher and catcher. Guy's throwing 100 miles an hour, then he hits you with an 84-mile-an-hour slider. You know, it's just too rushed for me. But I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to stuff like that.
I mean, I completely agree, but I definitely feel like the pitch clock is allowing more injuries to pitchers, which I feel like the
pitchers have been getting hurt every year before the pitch count. Like
I know, but I feel like way more pitchers have been getting injured.
Yeah.
That's why depth is so important in this league.
Yeah, I don't think it's something they're going to change. We may see them add my suggestion.
Because they're listening.
Yeah, I'll probably email MLB. We should have seen all the emails that I've gotten that we're not recording for 2 weeks. People were really upset. So, you know, we had to jump back on. That's where I was at with it. I just wasn't in the mood to talk Mets baseball.
I mean, we were playing really sloppy.
I needed a good sample size. You know, 16 games is a good sample size.
And, like, at the beginning of, like, when we were winning, we were winning, like, 2-1, 1-0 one game. I mean, our offense this year is not that great to start the season. No. I feel like we'll definitely pick it up. And a big factor of that is what we talked about earlier with Lindor. Mm-hmm. He was definitely a big factor of that because he is the captain of this team.
Is he?
Yeah. For sure.
Unofficial captain?
I would say so. He's such a leader in the locker room.
He needs to be the captain because you don't know Pete's future.
Yeah, for sure.
But
because Lindor's still got, like, what, 8 years with us? Yeah. I definitely would say that he's the captain.
For sure. I agree with you on that right now. But what else is happening that we need to discuss? We had the college basketball's over. The women took over.
I mean, I feel like the women's basketball was just so much more fun to watch to me. But I'm a casual basketball fan, let me say that. So I had never really watched college basketball. I'd always like seen highlights or whatever. But I'm the casual. So I really don't know nothing about college basketball. And I feel like the women's tournament was way more like likable to watch than the men's. And I want to get into a question with you. So the WNBA draft was yesterday, April 15th. We're recording this on the 16th. How do you feel like Caitlin Clark, who got draft number one, do you feel like she's going to change the league?
Nope.
Why not?
You want my honest opinion?
I do.
I don't want to get canceled. Yeah. There's twofold. This is my take. The women's college game was more enjoyable because the women are actual college teams that have been built from scratch, recruited from scratch, have been there 3-4 years, 5 years with the COVID and everything. You've had coaches build a roster, build the continuity, you know, build the program. And you have some stars. The Reese girl from LSU. LSU have several. I'm not going to pretend I know everybody or even watched a second of it. But I don't watch women's sports. And to answer your question, the only women's sports that I watch is the women's national soccer team. But when those players go, Alex Morgan, when they go to their club team professionally, I don't follow that. I follow men's sports. And that's not a sexist thing.
It's just more enjoyable for you to watch men's sports.
I don't watch minor league baseball games. I watch the best play. I'll keep up with the minors, with the Mets players. But I'm not going to put on a Brooklyn Cyclone against a Lakeland Tigers game and watch nine innings. No, I'm going to watch the professionals play.
Okay, I will admit, minor league games are pretty fun to watch. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not saying they're not. To go to a game.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. To go to a game. I wouldn't like willingly watch a game on TV.
Like to watch the Futures game or something like that on TV on ESPN.
Or like your favorite teams, minor league team.
But my point on why it's not going to be successful in the future is because women don't support it. So you have this argument, women, like the women's soccer team, the women should be paid as much as the men. Well, on the women's soccer national stage, the women were generating revenue like the men. They were selling out stadiums. They were everywhere they went. They were selling out, selling merch. A lot of money was coming in through U.S. soccer for the women. So that part I get a little bit. But you can't tell me that Alex Morgan playing for Orlando should get paid what Messi makes. It's now the soccer has a lot more fans in women than the WNBA. But women don't support women's sports. Tell me a female you know that's like, I don't even know a name of a WNBA team, okay? So
I could probably name you like five.
Okay, so do you know any females that follow professional sports?
Like women's professional sports?
Yeah. Like have you ever seen a woman wear a jersey of a female team?
I mean, not in real life, no.
No. So it's not up to men to go support the women in the WNBA. The WNBA is subsidized by the NBA. If it wasn't for the NBA, there would be no WNBA. They lose millions and millions of dollars every year to subsidize so the women can play. One of the girls that just signed her contract, her rookie deal in the draft, $84,000.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark, I saw that.
$84,000. I don't know if it was Caitlin. I think it was the reason. I don't know.
No, it was because like Caitlin Clark's first year, she's getting like $76,000.
Now, she's going to make a lot of money in endorsements. So these people saying...
Oh, and she already has.
Yeah, so the people that are saying, it would have been better for Reese to stay at LSU, she would have made more money. Those endorsement deals are going to follow her to the WNBA.
Oh, for sure.
But when you get the college, it's just like me. I'm a Gator fan. So, you know, last year when the Gators were in the World Series of Baseball, I'm watching. I'll watch the Gators gymnastics if it's on.
No, you won't.
I pull for the Gators.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was bored and there was women's volleyball on and the Gators were playing South Carolina, I'm going to watch it because I'm going to root for the Gators.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit down on a Sunday afternoon and put on the WNBA Angels versus the Myth. I just made that up. I don't know.
I think the Mystics are a team.
Mystics?
You're close.
So, I mean, you could take that as being sexist or whatever, but I don't necessarily enjoy the women's game. I do think that one of the reasons why the women's college game was so enjoyable for people was because they had some stars and they played good fundamental basketball. And there's not the one and done. They built teams, and they rotated the ball. They made three or four passes before they shot. But, yeah, I to answer your question, no. Rebecca Lobo was a superstar. She was going to change the WNBA. It didn't change nothing. Women aren't going like that. You do have now, shout out to all the women out there that are offended if you're listening to this because you rep your team. And you watch women's professional sports.
It's all opinion based. Like, if you don't like the WNBA, you don't have to watch it.
I don't watch the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, I don't watch the, I used to watch the NBA all the time, but I don't.
You should. The Magic are in the playoffs.
I mean, I'm gonna tune into the Magic, but it's not for me anymore. My love is
his love is Michael Jordan. That's what his love is.
It died when Jordan retired. It did.
I understand that, but you're the biggest Jordan Glazer I know. You're the biggest Jordan Glazer I know.
Okay, but you have your Lances out there that are the biggest LeBron Glazers. So it is what it
is. He's the now.
Listen, shout out to LeBron. I've said this already. He's a great basketball player. He's just not the best. That's okay. But my point is I don't watch the NBA, so why would I watch the WNBA? So all the women listening, if you want women, the WNBA to be successful, and you want them to make more than $80,000 a year, go to a game a year. Go to a game. Go to a game. That's it. Buy a jersey. Get the TV ratings up that you're watching.
Yeah, because the only reason they don't make as much money as the men is because it's not as watched. And because they're not...
It's business.
There's not enough profit coming in to pay the players.
It's professional sports. So if you're not making...
That's all professional sports is a business. That's all it is.
If you're not making the revenue, you can't pay the players what they're making, you know, like what they think they deserve. Go get it in endorsements. Get it other ways.
And a lot of the WNBA teams aren't owned by billionaires or trillionaires like the NBA or the MLB or the NFL.
Yeah, and I will say this. I think all athletes are overpaid.
Oh, I totally agree.
I don't think, like, if...
Like, no, like, NFL, I feel like, should be the most paid sport, for sure. You could die on the field, like DeMar Hamlin. Shout out to DeMar. But I feel like they should be getting paid the most.
Definitely most dangerous.
For sure.
But yeah, I don't think they're worth the money that they're getting, but they can get it because if you can sign Ohtani to a $400-500 million
deal. It was $700 million.
$700 million deal.
That is insane. He's the best baseball player right now, but $700 million is insane.
I mean, they paid two players $1 billion, the Dodgers.
That just
shows you the amount of money that is being brought in from TV contracts, from streaming services, to merchandise, to ticket sales, to concessions, to parking. Everything is there for them to dictate, give me this much.
Yeah.
And the owners say, yes, the WNBA ladies, unfortunately, you don't have that. But I will say this, when I was their age and somebody said, hey, we'll pay you $85,000 a year when you're 18, 19 years old to go play soccer professionally, I'd have signed up. You going to pay me to play a sport? Sign me up. The same reason why these guys go into rookie ball straight out of high school, sign a $100,000 sign-up bonus, and get paid $30,000 a year to play rookie ball. You're playing a sport professionally and you're making money? Go dig a ditch. Go lay some bricks. It's a lot easier to play in the WNBA.
Yeah, but it's a lot more work. No, let me not say that. It's harder to play a professional sport and get paid to play that sport than to just walk into a like Dairy Queen and say, I want a job.
So these athletes go to college. They get a degree.
Guy Joey Wendell's in the game, dude. I hate this guy. I hate him.
So they go to college, they get a degree, they're set up for their future, whether, you know, they're in sports management, a business degree, whatever it is, they have the opportunity to be something successful in a professional career, and they also have the opportunity to make some money to play professionally. I do think the first couple of games of the WNBA year, the Caitlin Clark versus Reese Girl, you know, apparently they've sold that game out already. But after two or three games, it's going to die. Now, why do you think Caitlin Clark didn't sign with the Big Three? Ice Cube offered, I think it was $5 million for Caitlin Clark to just play in like 10 games. So I need to do some research on why she didn't take that, because you could always went to the WNBA later.
Yeah.
Or 10 games. Like, then you sign as a undrafted free agent.
Wait, 10 games where?
That was the deal that the big three offered.
What's the big three? Is that?
So you don't even know.
Oh, the big, that's like that physical basketball league that Ice Cube owns?
Yeah, he owns a league that's just 3-on-3.
Oh.
So it's like retired players or stuff like that.
I've seen that. He used to play in the NBA. Yeah, I've seen that.
So he was trying to build, and he was trying to get on the bandwagon of all the hype going on with the women's game. But I hope I didn't come across too bad bashing. I'm not bashing women's sports. Because fundamentally, all the coaching that I've done in my life, I enjoyed working with the female teams because guys know everything. You have to have, like, really good guys on your team that buy into your system, that buy into you as a coach, that you can count on to be your captains and leaders. And if you need something, you tell those guys and they help you get it done.
Yeah.
Where women, my experience of coaching, when you're talking, they're listening to you, they're paying attention, and they're executing what you're asking them to do. And I think that's why it was such a good brand of basketball that was being played in the college game, opposed to a Duke or Kentucky, who they get great recruits and they're gone after a year. And yeah, now you're trying to replace them.
It's all Duke is going to be next year, all recruits.
So, I mean, I hope that answered your question, but shout out to the women.
You know, it'd be a fun women's sport to watch. Women's football, tackle football, just like the NFL, same rules. That would be fun. I'd watch that willingly.
Here's a good comparison. Okay, if you put on a Gator softball game against Florida State, I'll just pick Florida State. What you could do. There's a lot of great college softball teams.
Oh yeah,
Texas. Like, there's a lot. But if you put on a women's college Texas versus Florida, it is a very entertaining game to watch.
For sure.
Why it's not a professional sport?
Yeah, I was just about to ask if there's professional softball. I don't think there is, though.
No, I mean, they have it in, like, the world stage. And this brings up something that we were discussing on one of your games. So was it the MLB The Show that
lets women, yeah.
So you can build your own character in this MLB The Show game. So now you can build a woman player. I'm fine with that. You can build a guy who's 7'4" and 300 pounds and make him, you know, the first baseman.
Not really.
I mean, it's kind of, you can do what you want. It's your game. You can build it. So if there are young ladies or women who like gaming, and they want to make a player to look like themselves, and that's great.
Yeah.
But here's my question. Why doesn't EA Sports make a college softball game? And promote it to women. Promote it to, how many girls play softball? Like, Bartow is one of the best high school teams in the country, right? All these girls play travel ball, do all this stuff. They play PlayStation. They play Xbox.
They might.
You don't think they maybe want to play a girls softball game? Because they're not going to play. They're not going to support it like boys do or men do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it really, to me, you know, it is really on women. You want it to be successful, go get your girlfriends and go to a game. There's Orlando's got a professional, well, soccer, but yeah, I don't know. Is there, I don't think that Orlando has a WNBA team.
No, but there's only like 15. Oh my, this guy just threw into right field.
Yeah, that's terrible. But anyway,
this is such a sloppy 1-0. Like, we have what? We have one hit this game.
That's all right. We're going to win. We score our runs in the eighth. That's what we do.
I mean, if Harrison Bader comes up to the plate, yeah, we'll score some runs in the eighth.
When's the draft?
For the NFL?
Yeah.
Next week, next Thursday. That would be, so let's do some math here. So 7 days from now would be the 23rd. It's the 25th.
25th. So next week we'll break down kind of at least the first round of some mock picks.
See, that's all I do. I'm not an NFL GM, so I'm not looking past the first round. Actually, I do go into the second round a little bit. I dabble in it.
Just a dabble?
I just dabble in it. Put my finger in, test the waters. But I just look into it sometimes. But I definitely need the I definitely need the Bucks to draft a DB in the first round.
What? Who do you think has had
Cooper DeJean?
Who's had the best offseason as of right now? In the
Texans. Oh, the Texans.
Texans.
I don't know why I said it like that, but the Texans for sure.
Texans have made some moves.
Texans made some big moves for sure. One, top 10 running back in the league when healthy. Top 10 wide receiver in the league when healthy. You got both of them this offseason. Top 10 edge rusher in the league when healthy, Danielle Hunter. I mean, they lost their best linebacker. I don't know if they replaced him or not. I'm not too sure about that. But they've definitely had one of the best offseasons, I would say. And pairing him with Rookie of the Year, CJ Stroud, who I think will win an MVP in the future. He looked great last season. So, definitely the Texans. The worst offseason, the Bills.
The Bills.
Bills are doing nothing. I mean, they're just releasing everybody, not signing anybody.
What do you think of Deion Sanders saying that his sons and what's the other kid? The athlete?
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter can only go to X amount of teams, 5 teams. Like, what the hell is going on?
Bro, what? That makes no sense.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
So he came out and said that his sons and whatever his name is.
What five? Was it the 5 teams that he played on in his NFL career?
Let me tell you exactly. No, it wasn't even the 5 teams that he played on.
I don't even think he played for 5 teams. Wait, let me think. The Ravens, the 49ers, the Cowboys.
All right, this is what Deion Sanders says he will allow. Think about what I'm saying now, Cole. I'm a Deion guy. I'm a Deion supporter. But this is what Deion says.
Deion Glazer.
Deion Sanders says he will allow Travis Hunter and his sons to play for only the Eagles, the 49ers, the Cowboys, Commanders, Ravens, or Falcons.
He did play for the Falcons, too.
How in the hell are you, as a college coach, going to come out and say that 3 of your players on your team can only go to those teams?
It's like 7 teams. I'm confused about the Commanders. Like, the Commanders have one of the worst front offices in the league, and they, like, they got an F on their team report card this offseason. But that whole thing's beyond me.
And then the argument that will come back is, well, Eli Manning did it. Well, Eli Manning said he was going to be the first overall pick and said he wouldn't go to the Chargers.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to play for the Chargers either.
That's different than saying these 3 players will only play for these 5 teams. And then what if you were an outside linebacker for Colorado and you were projected to be a 2nd or 3rd round pick? And Deion ain't saying where.
Struck him out.
Deion ain't saying where you're going to go.
Yeah. He don't care. I mean.
This is what I meant when I said college sports is being ruined. And now they're talking about trickling it down to high school with this NIL stuff. You are nobody yet. Shador Sanders is a great athlete. He comes from great pedigree. He's maybe a top 10 quarterback in college football going into the next year. Okay, great. You're going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL. You can't, your daddy can't say where you're going.
That's beyond me. There's no way.
And people are defending it. People are defending it. It's okay. These kids are coming out of high school, haven't done a damn thing in college, getting $1 million NIL deals, and you haven't played a down of college football.
Hey, the Gators can do it, but everybody else, they can't do it. No, they can't do it.
No, the Gators, Lagway's the same way.
I know, I was just glazing.
He's going to be a star, hopefully. But he ain't done nothing yet. You've got to earn it. Things aren't just handed to you.
Apparently they are.
And if you have the opportunity to get drafted by the New York Football Giants, but Deion Sanders is saying, my sons and Travis Hunter will not play for you, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's so ridiculous.
I don't understand it.
How as a college coach can you come out and say, my sons and Travis Hunter will not play for blah, 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 will only play for these teams? Like, it's not your decision. It's not your decision. And they should be lucky that they're even going to the NFL. Like, not saying that they don't have talent, but they obviously have talent.
No, you're absolutely right. You have the opportunity to do something that
2% of athletes do.
Right. And 98% of athletes wish they could.
Exactly.
And you are going to dictate what team they can play for?
You don't have that privilege.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, you do.
Once you get to the league, fine. Pick whatever team you want. When you get drafted, you have no say.
No, exactly. You know what I say to it? Okay, fine. Don't enter the draft. You won't get drafted. And then those five teams can go and sign you as a free agent. But guess what? You get that salary.
Yeah.
You get the salary that a non-drafted free agent gets, not a first-round pick. Stop with this entitlement. It is sickening. LeBron James' son.
Bronny.
This kid is not even a college basketball player.
LeBron James.
He's not even a college basketball player, and he's possibly going to get drafted in the NBA.
No, he's not, Dad. This is what he's doing. You want to know what he's doing?
Tell me what he's doing.
He's going to, like, the combine or whatever they call it, and he's gonna know his projected pick. He's going to know where he's projected to get picked, and if he's not a lottery pick or a little bit after a lottery pick, he's going back to college. That's exactly why he's entering his name to the draft and he's entering the transfer portal.
Well, then, I can tell you right now, save the trip because you're not an NBA player.
I'm not an NBA player. You're right.
It's ridiculous, Cole. It's ridiculous. You've been following the rap beef?
Not real. I mean, I know that Drake won a 10v1. That's what I know.
So Drake is the LeBron James of rap.
Okay, so who's the best then?
Who's the best rapper?
Yeah, you said he's a LeBron. You think Jordan's the GOAT, right? So who's the GOAT?
Oh, the GOAT. That's a
No. Because did you say that LeBron's the GOAT?
No.
You just said LeBron's the GOAT.
I'm talking about.
No, nope, somebody clip that. No. Whoever's listening, somebody LeBron's the GOAT. That's all I need to hear from you. Thank you.
You go back and listen.
Thank you. Pelon's at the play with the runner off first in the bottom of the seventh. Let's go.
I said Drake is the LeBron James of the rap.
So he's second best.
I'm not even. Okay.
So who's the best? I want to know.
The best of all time?
Who's the best of all time? Is Drake second best of all time?
You would have to. I wouldn't. But you would have to put Drake up in the top five just because of record sales.
Oh, so he's Kareem. Okay.
And all that, but no. Lyrically, his nursery rhymes, Drake is not. He doesn't know if he wants to be R&B. He doesn't know if he wants to be a rapper. Now, he is a troll. He is funny. He sent a marching band outside of Magic City and did he does funny things, but no. But my point of bringing this up was, some nice little friendly fire between Kendrick.
Oh, it's not friendly at all.
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, it's not friendly at all.
And then J. Cole comes and makes a record, which was just kind of like, hey, I'm here. I could go in on you, but I'm not. And then he comes out and apologizes.
Who did?
J. Cole.
Oh.
We're not the same. We don't come from the same generation, Cole, when it comes to hip-hop. Like, they... Rap beat that is a battle. That's
what
my
is. Gosh. I'm sorry. Joey Wendell's on deck.
It's a battle. Sorry. So I know you don't follow that close, but
no, I'm not really a music guy. Like if I'm bored, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I just don't really listen to
Who's
music.
Who's your best rapper of all time?
Don't even put me on the spot here. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. Snoop Dogg. I'm just kidding.
A Rod Wave?
Heck no. Heck
no. You're a Rod Wave guy.
Oh, I love Rod Wave for
like
sure.
To get in your feels.
Rod Wave's a little. He's a. I wouldn't even say he's a rapper. I'd say he's more of a. He's more of a singer. You got a way, yeah.
Oh boy. Yo. I'm gonna wrap this one up.
Yo.
I don't know what just happened.
Hey, listen to one of his songs. He'll hit one of those for you. That's not even the right one, bro. You gotta give me the cheering one. Play that one for me.
You mean play what?
Oh, Pete Alonso.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my. Look who's coming up to the plate. Runners on first and third and one out. Joey Wendell.
Joey Wendell is up. Runners on first and third. one out, bottom of the seventh.
Every Mets game is like this, bro. They're lucky they're not playing in my inning. But lucky they don't have a time limit, because we would have lost every single game this season.
Pittsburgh's a good squad too.
They're a decent squad. They're a young team. I do like their squad. Their shortstop's big. Holy, he's big. And I went to the Flying Tigers versus the Pirates single A affiliate game. They got another big old short. Their shortstop in single A is 6'6". O'Neill Cruz is 6'7".
Wow.
Like, they got some big fellas.
O'Neill Cruz is a good ball player.
He is a great ball player. Is Ellie better than O'Neill? Who's a better Cruz?
You know, Ellie.
I think they're both overrated, but they're both great. I think
Ellie's a little overrated after watching that Cincinnati series. But,
oh my gosh.
I wish he was on the Mets.
You wish everybody was on the Mets. I wish he was on the Mets over than Joey Wendell. I hate Joey
Wendell. Where did Joey Wendell come from?
He had one decent, two for 11. Man.
Two like, for 11, no home runs.
Hey.
The fans are into it, though.
Hey, the fans are into it. As long as Joey Wendell is a ground to a double play. Oh, he's about to, isn't he?
I guess we're going to wrap this up, but I guess we're going to keep, you know, because for the fans that aren't watching and listening tomorrow, we'll let you know what happens.
Hey, he's got a great eye.
We're going to wrap this up after the end of this half inning.
He's got a, hey, better, better, hey, better, better, swing, better, better, swing.
This is crazy. Oh, was Lindor stealing?
No, he's not stealing, Dad. Let's be serious.
And the pitch swung on. Do a play-by-play.
1-1 count on Joey Wendell here. If I want a sports broadcast, let me practice here. Let me practice here. Is the mic too close? Bottom of the seventh, one out. Runners on first and third for Joey Wendell.
He's not. I mean, I think he's going to get a hit.
Outfield shaded in. 1990s stance. And the pitch. Swung on, belted to left. Uh-oh. It'll get down. Joey Wendell. Pete's chugging for third. He'll make it. Joey Wendell with the RBI double to tie the game.
I told you he was going to get a hit.
Like, hey, all I got to do is talk down on a player, and that's what I'll do. Let's go, Mets, baby.
That was a nice hit.
That was a nice swing.
Took it the other way.
That was a great hit. Very well placed.
You had one of those hits in.
Look at Pete.
Your team had one of those hits against you tonight. It's a right field.
Oh, my dude. It made me so mad. Oh. Every foul ball that, like, goes straight back, I swear it's going to center field. I swear it is. Like, it looks so good. Pause. No diddy.
Alvarez at the plate.
0-1 on Francisco Alvarez. We're on second and third. Tie ball game here.
This would be huge for Alvarez. This is
ball riveting. One.
This is riveting.
After this at bat, we will wrap up the show.
I'm about to say, because this is riveting content for the listeners.
It's just, I don't know. The 1-1 pitch.
This is what we go through every night.
The 1-1 pitch from Luis Ortiz to Alvarez. Is a ball down low. Same pitch I just threw. Alvarez, two strikeouts tonight. He needs to.
He's intense. Look at him. He's chewing the hell out of that gum.
It's a PG show. I had the Francisco Alvarez batting stance.
You need that helmet that he's got.
Oh, for sure. A swing and a drive. Foul.
That's awfully loud.
Is it?
Hurting my ears.
That's on me. That's on me. Listeners back home.
How about the guy on your team that got hit in the face twice?
No, he got hit once.
He got hit twice.
No, he only got hit once.
No, the same kid got hit in the face twice. He had that guard on.
Yeah, I know. The last batter of the game, I know. Oh, Alvarez.
Uh-oh.
Hit it to left. Pretty shallow. Pete will not be running. I doubt. Oh, I thought he was going. All right, well, tie ball game. If the Mets win, we're above 500 for the first time this season, so that'd be great. But thank you guys for listening.
We'll be back next week with some NFL talk. We'll break down the first round of the draft. Until then,
peace.